And so before the world was created, Jesus possessed and enjoyed all the glory that was attributable to the Father. And here he is praying, "Father, I'm coming home. I finished the work that you gave me to do." And of course he is deeming that this cross work was absolutely sure and certain. And then look at verse 24, John 17, 24. "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and what a great opportunity radio gives us to bring you the message of the gospel from the pulpit of our church to wherever you are today, perhaps commuting to or from work. We are on the air 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., and people continue to tell me that even in the mornings, 5 a.m., they turn on the radio and find our program. I hope that today's message will be a help to you, that it will stir your heart and lead you to faith in the gospel according to the written word of God. We're continuing to look at John's Gospel, chapter 1. This is one of those foundational chapters. It sets the very benchmark for everything else, because it tells us that Jesus Christ is God. That in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, that in very clear terms lays out the deity, the Godhood of the Lord Jesus, and everything from there just flows. His miracles, his walking on the water, his healing the sick, his raising the dead, everything that Jesus does is comprehensible on the basis that he is God. He's the second person of the Trinity, and he became man. And this is the wonder of Christianity. We follow a Savior who is the God-man. We call it the theanthropic personality of the Lord Jesus. He is God and man in one person, and therefore he has all power to save his people from their sins. So stay tuned with us as we open the Bible today, going to the pulpit of our church to let the Bible speak on Jesus Christ, the Word of the Father. We are not seeking to get to heaven by our own independent route. We're not trying to get to heaven by our own works. We are united to this second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took our nature, who became our living Savior, and now represents us before the Father. And he says, "He that believeth on the Son shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." You're saying, where's that in the Bible? Well, let's go to John 3 and to the closing verses, 35-36, and you will see that this is the clear message of the gospel. John 3:35, "The Father loveth the Son." Two distinct persons. "The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand." That means my life and your life are in the hands of Christ. He is now the ruler of all things. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. This is the man, Christ Jesus. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." What an amazing thing that there is one man. He's called the man, Christ Jesus. who is united to a divine nature, and that unique person has the power to give you eternal life in heaven, but without him, you will be damned in hell for all eternity. That's the message. Now, did Jesus cause men to go to hell? No. It is unbelief that causes men to be lost. Because it says right here, he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so now this is the claim that the gospel has upon you. Because you are not only asked to assent to an historical record, you're asked to put your trust in the Lord Jesus. You remember how I sought to define the word believe? That means to lay hold on. It means to trust in with all your weight, all your life. And there are people here today, and they are believers on the Lord Jesus in that sense. They have laid hold upon Jesus as the Son of God to be their Savior and to give them eternal life. And you are believers. But all who have never done so, you believe not. You can't be in the middle. You're either a believer or an unbeliever. You are either laying hold on Christ as your Savior or pushing him away and saying, I do not want this. I do not accept this. And so this claim upon your heart today is, what will you do with this man called Jesus? We know that Pilate sought to do. He washed his hands of him. We know what the Jews would do. They cried out, crucify him. And they learned afterwards, when they had the blood of Jesus on their hands, that they were condemned. But praise God, there was hope. When Peter went preaching that sermon in Acts 2, there was a multitude converted. You see, believing makes all the difference. And if you recognize that you're a lost soul, that you have no life in yourself, but the wrath of God is upon you, the Lord Jesus offers you today eternal life. Eternal life. That brings me now to the equality. We'll go back to take a look at this text again, and we see this clear statement of John, this thematic statement, this premise upon which he builds everything else. And he says, and the Word was God. I want you to know that by Jesus taking on human nature, leaving heaven's glory, coming down to this world, he lost nothing of his Godhood. Absolutely nothing. Nothing of his divinity. Nothing of his glory. Oh, we are told that he emptied himself. And he took upon him the form of man, became a servant, but he did not change his nature. He is eternally God. He was God in the bosom of the Father. He was God in the womb of Mary. He was God in the manger. He was God when he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came down upon him. He was God when he raised the nobleman's son from the dead. He was God when he raised Lazarus from the dead. He was God when he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. A human person could never make that claim. But he who was equally God could make that claim. Now, I want to slow up. I want to take you to John chapter 5 and verse 17. Because this is the wonderful thing about the book of John. What we learn doctrinally in verse 1:1, we find works out practically in the rest of the book. John 5:17. Here now is the Lord Jesus, and Jesus answered them,
My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. That seems a very clear statement. But you notice the impact to the hearers. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Here is his equality. Then go with me to John 10 and verse 30. Something very similar happens again. John 10, 30. And Jesus says, I and my Father are one. You may have had the cults on your doorstep, and they will argue a black bird white on this one. They would say that this doesn't mean eternal oneness, doesn't mean equality in nature. It just means they're one in purpose. But you will notice the Jews didn't take it that way. They said in verse 31, they took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. There's the impact of Jesus' claims and Jesus' teaching upon these very people. And then in John 17, verses 1 to 5, you have this high priestly prayer, this intimate communion between the Lord and the Son, the Father and the Son. And it says in John 17, 1, these words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son. Now, just stop there. Would you pray that prayer, glorify me? No. We don't receive the glory of God. One day we will bask in God's glory, but we do not receive the glory of God or the glory that belongs to God, that thy Son also may glorify thee. You can see the reciprocal glorifying one another. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And so before the world was created, Jesus possessed and enjoyed all the glory that was attributable to the Father. And here he is praying, Father, I'm coming home. I finished the work that you gave me to do. And of course he is deeming that this cross work was absolutely sure and certain. And then look at verse 24, John 17, 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. When the Lord Jesus entered heaven, he received all glory. He was given a name above all names, and to that name every knee shall bow. Have you bowed the knee to this glorified Lord Jesus? Are you a believer in him? Or are you doubting, objecting, finding an excuse, which means that you believe not, and therefore you do not give glory to the Son? You deny him. And while he has all power and authority in his name, and he holds you in his hands, the very breath you breathe, yet all the while you deny him and reject him. Now this statement of John chapter 1:1, and I can't get away from it, don't allow me to get away from it. My aim is to make this text shine. Because if you allow this word into your heart and mind, you will believe. You cannot but believe. This is such a plain statement that a little child could easily understand and take it in. You have to accept here that the language is abundantly clear. There's no big words here. There's no difficult language. It's simple, in simple, clear statements. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The problem is not understanding what the Bible says. We would be a very low IQ if we couldn't understand what this word means. This is what John the Apostle wrote, moved by the Holy Spirit to write the Scriptures. This is what he was moved to write by the power of God concerning the Lord Jesus. Do you get what it says? Of course you do. You could not say this is language that is so mystical that we could never comprehend it. You do not have a problem understanding the language. You have a problem submitting to Jesus. That's the problem. That's where the issue lies. It's not whether this is true or whether it's what the Bible states. It's what you don't want to hear. Because if he is indeed the Lord and the Lord of glory, then you must bow the knee to him. How's my time going? Not badly. We've covered a lot of ground in 30 minutes. Will you give me about 2 more minutes? Just allow me to wrap this up and speak to your heart here on this matter. I have a long quote here by Arthur W. Pink. I'll give you just the one statement I think that's most pertinent. And as though that we were not strong enough, the Holy Spirit added, and God was the Word. God was the Word. And the Word was with God, and God was the Word. Literally, that's how it's translated. In the original language, God was the Word. That's who Jesus is. And while we live in a culture that mocks and blasphemes the name of Jesus in swear words, in their anger, you think of who Jesus is. He is God. You might say, so what? The gospel of Christ is packed with absolute authority. You cannot run from it. You cannot escape from it. Should you live to the age of Methuselah, 1,000 years, 969, or there, you will one day stand face to face with Christ, the Son of God. Will you stand before him as a believer or an unbeliever? This second person of the Trinity is the Word. I didn't get to that, did I? The Word. That means he is the revelation of the Father. He is God's speech, God's messenger. He's God's spokesman. God sent his Son that you would know who God is. And he sent him down into this world to live and breathe, eat, sleep, live, die, that you would know the eternal God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And this is eternal life. And Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. This is the gospel of Christianity. In verse 3, he's the creator. That's next week's sermon. But there's a little point I want to make out. Some people say to me, I don't need to go to church to worship God. I can go to the mountains and worship among the trees. Because God reveals himself in creation. Did you know that the world around us is under the curse? It's a dying world. It's a world that is under judgment. The flood, earthquakes, volcanoes, death all around. Every plant, every tree, everything you see in this world has got the sentence of death upon it. Do you think that's the revelation of the true God? Do you think that that is the picture of the true and living God that lives in absolute perfect glory, who is the holy, holy, holy? No, you will never know God by the fallen creation. Now, you might know there is a God. You might know that there is a God who is so powerful, but you will never come to know his nature, his grace, and his love by worshiping a tree. We come to his Son, who is the revelation of the Father. Who hath seen me hath seen the Father. And when we study Christ as revealed in the Scriptures, we then know the true God. Because it is true, Jesus said it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Do you believe? I'm not asking you to believe, is this world around us real? I'm asking you to believe that the eternal God really loved you so much that he sent his Son down to be made in our likeness, to live and die in our place. Do you believe? Will you lay hold upon him to be your Savior? That's the gospel. And John's only getting started. John 1:1. Let this word live in your heart, and I trust you will come to personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus. And come back again, and we'll look at this matter that all things were made by him, even you. Where did you come from? Who are you? You are the production of the Creator, and all things were made by him. And without him was nothing made that was made. You must face that fact. And he comes to be your Savior. Will you trust him and become a believer? That's why the early Christians were willing to suffer and even die, because they believed that he is worthy of our faith, worthy of our cross, and even worthy to suffer. If you believe in him, he will save you. May you trust him today. We have a little booklet called A New Beginning. I'd love to give any visitor a copy, and I trust the Lord will continue to speak to your heart. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak, and I hope that today's message on Christ, the Logos, the Word of the Father, has been written on your heart, and that you will trust in the Lord Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior. And if I can be of personal help, make sure you call me at 604-576-1091. The Bible study notes I've been mentioning in the study of Genesis chapter 2. At the end of the section, we have a line says, things to do in light of this study. And so as you look at Genesis chapter 2, the first thing that we recommend is to memorize the key verse, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That verse is foundational to all our worship of God. Indeed, unless you understand that you are created by God,
that you received your very life and breath from God, how can you get on your knees and pray to Him? This is a pivotal, foundational verse for every Christian, so we recommend that you memorize it. Secondly, be alert to the rebellious worldview that promotes evolutionary theories. Remember that they are only man's theories. Only God was present during the week of creation, and He has given us His record of events in the book of Genesis. So, here we have every reason to trust in God, not the theories of men. And then also, study the solid evidence for direct creation, such as intelligent design that is visible all around us, from bacteria under the microscope to the human body, or the planets in the universe. When we look all around, we see design in everything, even in a leaf. When you look at the veins on the back of a leaf that supplies the nutrition to every square inch of that plant and of the tree, what a marvel of design, that sap is formed in the roots, climbs up the trunk system, out every branch, into every leaf, and every square centimeter of the leaf. What a wonderful plan you have right there in a leaf. What about a flower? Oh, the beauty, the symmetry, the color, the cycle of spring, summer, winter. All of these things tell us that there is an order to the world we live in. And if there is an order, then there is a designer. And that, of course, is God Himself. Then finally, read the Gospels and look for Christ's teaching about direct creation. This is one of the great confirmations that the Lord Jesus said in the beginning, and He talked in terms of what we read in the book of Genesis. So there we leave it, and we thank you for joining with us as we let the Bible speak today, and I trust that the Lord will continue to minister to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, be sure to call or email. Now stay tuned for the closing announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.